Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 20 through 26. They went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, till all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Jemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Amalek, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, that the Lord hid them. My message today is on the subject, cutting away the Word of God. We could call it, take a penknife to the Bible. This is a time, sad time, in the history of Israel, when Jehudi read the word of God to the king, and they took a penknife and cut out what they didn't like in the Word of God. Threw it in the fire until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. If we were to cut out all the things that people once left or cut out of the Word of God, we would have all the roll burned. I said one time many years ago that if we were to cut out of the Bible every verse of Scripture that teaches or implies God's elective purposes, there would be nothing but holes in your Bible. There are many people that want to pick and choose what they believe and what they follow in the Word of God. And they try to use excuses and call people names that do things that they don't like. But they're just like Jehudi. They're cutting away from the Word of God. If we cut away from the Word of God, every verse of Scripture that teaches our responsibilities as a child of God, we would be just like with the doctrines of election. We'd have a Bible full of holes. It says, yet they were not afraid. That's the part that I think about very much. They were not afraid. We'll talk about that a little bit more a little while later in the message. This is an example of one who literally cut the Word of God. I want us to think about the importance of God's Word. Note in verse 24 it says, yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. They heard, they read it, and then they cut it out, and they burned it up. and yet they were not afraid. What a serious thing. They should have been, just as we should be, whenever we find people who would make fun of, make light of, or cut away any portion of the Word of God. In Jeremiah 36, verses 1 and 2, said it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of the book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. God gave them this word. It was the word of God. And the Jehoiakim and Jehudi took that word, cut it up, and burned it up. Why does it say in there, yet they were not afraid? Why should we be afraid of that? Is it not just a book? Have we not burned many books? You know, I have in my library, I've lost count now, being saved for 60-some years and being preacher 59 years. I have a lot of Bibles that I have pretty well worn out. Bibles that I finally got to the place that I had to get a new one because I couldn't hold it together while I was preaching. I still have them. Because what do you do with them? I certainly would not want to burn them. So what do you do with them? And I still have them. To even think of burning the Word of God would just be, it would, I just can't believe it. I can't understand it. I couldn't do it. And yet, they did. And yet, people today do. People who do not understand the seriousness of the Word of God. In Psalms, the first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The law of God, the word of God, is something that should be our delight. It's something that we should meditate in day and night. Not try to cut it up. Not make fun of it or make light of it or take a penknife to it, either physically or spiritually. What a serious, serious thing it is to do such a thing as that. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This word of God is settled in heaven. Now, I know that this is just a printed version of God's word. But it is God's word. It's just like the things that we have in the church building. The block that was used to build the building and the wood that was used to trim it. And the piano and the organ and the pews and all of these things, they're just made out of material things. But they were dedicated as the house of God and the furnishings in the house of God. That makes them different from anything that that we have at home. I know there are some things that we have at home that people would call antiques, mostly me, but And you don't destroy things like that, I guess, because somebody considers them valuable. But there's a lot of things we have in the house that we, after a while, when it gets worn out and unusable, we discard it. Burn it, put it in the trash, sell it, or something like that. I have a lot of books in my library that I should have a bonfire sometime. But this is different. This, while it's just paper and ink, is paper and ink that contains the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And how could we do that to the Word of God? I have said, and others have said, I'd like sometime to get an old one and just cut out the verses that people don't like to see what it looked like. Even though it would prove the point of what we said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Because it is the Word of God. And it's settled forever. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Did you ever hear anybody say, well, Paul wrote that, and Paul didn't like women, and so on and so forth? Yes, Paul was a scribe. Yes, Peter was a scribe in some. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How could I even in sarcasm talk about the Word of God? How could I even take a portion of it and make fun of it? How? It's a serious business to preach and teach the Word of God. When one stands up before God's people and is presenting to them the Word of God, whether it's teaching in a class or preaching from the pulpit, it's a serious business, because this is not just any book. This is God's Word. And you don't want to cut it out in any way by misteaching or misapplying or by making it say something that it doesn't, and so on and so forth. That's serious. It's dangerous. In the book of Exodus, in the 32nd chapter, Exodus 32 and verse 16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. The law of God is the work of God, and the writing of God. Not ours to play around with, but His. In Isaiah 59, and verse 21, Isaiah 59 and verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God says, this is my covenant. My words, which I have put in thy mouth, it shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of, not only out of our mouth, but out of the mouth of our seed, and out of the mouth of our seed's seed, our children, our grandchildren. In other words, it's to be the same Word of God. The Bible doesn't change. In one part of that article that I mentioned, it said something to the effect that it only bothers the older people. was my understanding that the younger people are to learn from the older people, and the older people are to teach the younger people the things of God and the importance of the things of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guiding them that took Jesus. He said this has to take place because the Spirit of God spoke through the mouth of David that it would. So it has to take place, he said. When God speaks, it has to take place. That's true whether it's talking about prophecy. That's true whatever it's talking about. It's true if it's talking about our responsibilities in serving God. It's true. It must needs be done because the Spirit of God spoke by the mouth of a servant of God. In chapter 28 of the book of Acts and verse 25, Acts 28 and verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He said, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Well spake the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I probably am using a lot more scripture than I ordinarily would, but I want to show you. This may take a little longer than ordinary, but I need to show you the seriousness and the importance of the Word of God. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Who spoke? God spoke. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Peter 1 and 11, we'll read verse 10 too. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They were told things that they didn't fully understand themselves. What they wrote in their prophecies, they did not fully understand at the time of the writing. They searched it out. But it came to them through the Spirit of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter 1 and 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All the writings of the Word of God was written by men through the Holy Spirit. Not by their will. Not writing what they wanted to write, but what they were told or moved by the Holy Ghost to write. So, in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, Romans 3 verses 1 and 2, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much their way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. God spoke to us through the Jews, especially in the Old Testament, the old teachings, your word that he spoke to them. Now all of these things are telling us why we should be afraid to mishandle the word of God. Whether we cut it out with a literal penknife as Jehudi did, or whether we cut it out with a spiritual penknife as many people do today, we still are cutting away the word of God. And we should be afraid. We should fear what we are doing. It's a serious thing. As I've said many times, it doesn't make any difference how long you preach, how many years you preach. Every time you get up to preach, you should get up with fear and trembling. You should always be nervous. Not necessarily because you're before people. I used to be nervous because I was before people, but that don't worry me anymore like it used to. One of the worst things that I ever had was to go into a new church, one I'd never been to before, and preach. That scared me to death. I hope I've gotten over that mostly, but I never, ever want to get away from preaching the Word of God and being nervous about it, because this is God's Word, not mine. And I must present it as God gave it to us. Serious. It's a very serious business. And I have no intention of deliberately cutting away the Word of God, either literally or spiritually. Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the 13th verse. Proverbs 13 and verse 13. Tells us this: whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. I mentioned this morning of a sticker that some motel put on the Bibles that were put in the motel rooms. This is what it says: this book contains religious stories regarding the origin of living things. The stories are theories, not facts. They are unproven, unprovable, and in some cases totally impossible. This material should be approached with an open mind and a critical eye towards logic and believability. That's the sticker that some put on the Bible, the Word of God. How they ought to be afraid. How they ought to fear what they're doing. To do such a thing. And we're having people in America today that do that very thing. Cut away the Word of God by what they say and do and tell you what you can preach and what you can say and what you can stand for and so on. The Word of God is to be feared. As I read here in this passage in Proverbs 13 and 13, whoso despises the Word of God, the Word should be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. To even do something, cut away the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It is my calling and my job to stand here before you and to teach you the word of God. That's my calling. But I hope that we always understand what I'm teaching you is not what I think or want it to be. It's what the word of God is and what it says. As it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The gospel message that I preached to you who were saved under my ministry, or you who were saved under somebody else's ministry, the gospel message that you heard was not the message of the preacher. It was the message of God that worked effectually in you, that made a change in you. Am I able to make such a change in a person? No. And I thank God that I can't. I couldn't do that for myself. I certainly couldn't do it for anybody else. But the message I preach is not my ability. It's the power of God. And that's what saves. In Psalms, 119th Psalm, in verse 160. Psalms 119 and verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of my righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. True from the beginning. The word of God is a guide to our lives. In Psalms 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. A young man, that instead of going his way, not listening to the older people, is to take heed to the word of God if he wants to guide and cleanse his way. Thank God. And nobody took a penknife and cut those things out of my Bible. Because this is what we need. This is what I needed as a young man. This is what everybody needed as a young person. To guide their life. And that's what young people need today. Whenever people say, what do you have to offer for the young people? We have the Word of God. The same thing we have to offer for the older people and everybody else. The same thing that has always been offered to the people. The Word of God. The whole Word of God. Not one with holes in it. The Bible gives us warnings against discarding any of it. You know, we read that they wasn't afraid. They didn't fear when this happened. Those that heard the word being read and then saw it being cut out and with a penknife and thrown in the fire, they didn't fear either. The Bible gives some warnings in the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. What does it say? We are to meditate and learn and study so that we can observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not portions of it. Not what we want to and discard what we don't want to. It is not to be discarded. If we are to meditate on all of the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. We're not to add to it or cut it out with a penknife. I cringe every time I hear a preacher say, when they read a portion, and they say, now this is what God says, but. That means that they're going to add a little bit to it. They're going to make it say something it didn't say too many times. God says not to do that. Do not add to or take away. Chapter 12, it says the same thing. Chapter 12 and verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Don't add to it or cut it out. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us something. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 24. You notice what it says. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Revelation 22 and verse 19. As we get to the end of the Bible, this is what God says. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. It's a serious business to add to or take away any portion of the Word of God. To cut it with a penknife literally or spiritually. To talk about it in such a way as to bring dishonor to God. It's a serious, serious thing. Now there are other ways that we can cut away the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the peers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the paths. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. says this is a rebellious people, lying children that don't want to hear the word of God. Don't tell us those things. Tell us smooth things. Tell us things tell us deceits. Tell us things that make us feel good. That preacher offended my wife or my husband or my children. That preacher offended us because he preached something that stepped on my toes. You may not say those words, but that's what they mean. Why, they told me things that I should do. That preacher told me things I should do. We don't want a preacher like that. We want a preacher that gets up and tells us everything's fine. You're just as nice as you can be. You never do anything wrong. You know, I could get up and I could tell you all that you're just fine. You never do anything wrong and make you feel good. But I'd be lying to you. Because we all fail. We all sin. I sin. And you sin. And my job is to preach as God leads me, because He knows what you do and I don't. And sometimes He leads me to preach things and I don't know why. But somebody knows, because it's something that they need to hear. Sometimes it's something I need to hear. You see, we can't always have someone to speak smooth things. We can't always have someone to tell us good things. Well, don't preach on God's a God of wrath like I did this morning. He's a God of love. He loves everybody. That's not what the Bible says. And it doesn't say that He will always just love. There will be times when His wrath will be poured out. Rebellious people. They got away the word of God. We don't want to hear you preach those things. Preach smooth things. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and today along that thought in there in Isaiah, in this day and age, you don't dare speak that the Bible speaks against sodomy, homosexuality, and that sort of thing. You don't dare say that the Bible teaches that marriage is between a man and a woman. You don't dare say that, because that offends somebody. It speaks new things. You don't dare tell them that it's wrong to murder your baby. Well, that's not a baby, that's just a fetus. Women have a choice! What about the baby? The baby didn't have a choice. The baby didn't have a choice to get conceived. The baby didn't have a choice to be murdered. That doesn't hold water, their idea of choice. You don't preach on those things. You don't preach that it's wrong for women to preach. That preaching is given by God for men to do. You don't preach those things. You see, it's wrong because it hurts somebody. Cut that out of your Bible. Take a pen knife. Preach smooth things. Things that makes everybody feel good. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 7 and 8. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. People that resist the truth. Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They don't want to hear the truth. I want to hear smooth things. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 8. How do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Wise men are ashamed. In verse 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? They take the word of God and reject it. That's what's happening in the world today. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12. I'm getting close to the end of the message. It's not much longer now. Zechariah chapter 7. And verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They make their heart as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent. Have you not seen people like that? Just deliberately sit and refuse to hear what God says. That's cutting away the word of God. My brethren, there are many things that we could say. It's a very serious thing. A very serious thing. To cut away the word of God. There are many things in the word of God that I fail to keep. But the things that I do see and understand that we're supposed to, I wouldn't dare disobey God in doing what God says not to. But I will say this, Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 27 and 28 says, Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch spake at the mouth of Jeremiah saying, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. It may be that someone may take your Bible and they may burn it. They have in years past, during the dark ages, they took Christians and they burned their Bibles. They threw them in the bonfires. They burned their Bibles. But they cannot destroy the Word of God. They may take your Bible and burn it, but there's another one. It's there, and it will be there, and nobody can ever destroy the Word of God. You cannot cut it away, no matter how you try, which way you try, or anything else. You cannot cut away the Word of God, because it will not be destroyed, because it is the Word of God. And it's a serious, serious thing to cut away the Word of God.